Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to Brave New World programme. My name is John Harrison. Each generation differs from that which precedes it, and of course the generation that follows. Now, each generation feels itself to be unique with its own mindset, music, fashion, and of course spending habits. Millennials, or those born roughly between the early 1980s to the early 2000s, are now coming of age. Now, they're the new consumers and will soon be the power holders. And yet we, the older generation, actually know very little about these people who will soon take over in every sense of the word. How do millennials differ from their predecessors? And what does this mean for the future of our societies? Joining the programme to tell us all is David Arutyunyan, a vice president from a major investment company based here in Moscow. Welcome to the programme, David.
Hi, John.
Now, first of all, please tell us, those of us who are pretty ignorant about these things, and I'm one of them, I guess, who are the millennials or Generation Y?
John, thank you for calling me today. It's actually my first experience having radio interview, and I really enjoy sitting here in front of microphone. Just to make it clear for our dear broadcast listeners, I'm not a sociologist, and more likely will discuss millennials from business or economic side. And regarding terms millennial, the term millennials appeared firstly in 1987 to determine children who were born in 1982 and just entering preschool with prospective to be graduating class in new 2000 millennium. And now millennials are one of the largest generation in history. And according to US statistics, by 2030, they will dominate in a working force with a 75% majority. And moreover, most of the millennials are about to move into their prime spending years. And that's why millennials are poised now to reshape the economy and change the way we earn, we spell, we spend, we buy, we sell, and forcing companies to examine how they do business, how they will do business for decades to come.
Yeah. I mean, that's only 12 years away, isn't it? 2030, that's nothing. I mean, it's two presidents in America.
Or
two prime ministers in Britain. It's really not tomorrow, but it's fast approaching.
Yeah, actually, yes.
Okay, so in very general terms then, I guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, millennials, you could say they're the product of this general trend towards having smaller families. As I know, when I grew up, and I'm obviously not millennial, I think I'd go beyond description. After the post-war generation, and was normal then, you know, for families to have between three and seven or eight children. That was the norm. And really in the 60s and 70s, it came right down, didn't it, to three and then to two. And we already had this idea of small families. They were brought up in small families. What does that mean for their mindsets?
Yeah, you are right, of course. And generally, millennials are putting off significant social milestones like marriage, like family, like children's. And just for comparison, average marriage year in 2010s is approximately 30 years old and versus 23, 22 years old in 1970s. And this is a great gap between marriage age. However, it seems that in the long run, millennials still have quite a traditional family mindset. Many polls have shown that more than 70% of them want to have their own family someday in the future. And maybe a difference in the marriage age could be linked to the difference of economic environment that millennials are living now in.
Well, the economy, of course, is the deciding factor. And I certainly feel myself here to be in an incredibly privileged position because I have lived through different economic ages in London and Soviet Union and Russia. You know, I've seen the way that economies developed. And I remember the days when you could go and buy a flat or even indeed a house in London for no more than a multiple of, say, four times the average wage in London. That was normal. It wasn't this huge sort of bricks and mortar investment bank that it's turned into now that has priced housing out of the market out of most young people's reach. It's made them impossible to afford it. And many of them can't even afford to rent. It's a completely different economic situation we're living in. It's not just London, of course. It's throughout most of the Western world, yeah. Including Russia.
Especially large cities like New York, Moscow, yeah. London.
Yeah.
Now, this is really like a difficult problem for them to have a home, to afford a home. And because of they initially start their life with more debt because of students' loans. And the average loan, outstanding balance of loan just after graduation increased more than 2 times for the last decade.
Wow.
Yeah. From $10,000 to $20,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, this is a huge and major factor because if you start your life with these sort of worries, and I guess like children all over the world throughout history have modeled their lives on their parents. Parents of the millennials, of people who had grown up post-war generation, so they would have gone to school already in societies where you had some sort of social security network. They had state-paid education. Most countries already had national health services in place and so on. And that also, I guess, affected the way that millennials think. They didn't have to go out there and fight on the way to the top to make sure that they could go have enough money to pay to see the doctor. That was already there.
Yeah. Actually.
Okay, let's take a short break here and continue the conversation.
Brave New World.
Welcome back to Brave New World program. Today I'm talking to David Aruchyunyan, a vice president of a major investment company based in Moscow. Now, David, we've been talking about these very interesting people, the millennials. And obviously, they vary like all people do from region to region. But one thing I think we can say is that they're known for their increased understanding of and use of technology, in particular digital communication and media. Now, you're closer to them than I am, I have to say. How does this reflect on the typical, if there is a typical, millennial mindset, in quotes?
Yeah, actually, millennials could be called the first digital natives. It means that they have grown up in the digital age rather than acquired familiarity with a digital system as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
That's why millennials do just everything online. It means that if your business is not fully internet-enabled in terms of ease and accessibility, mm-hmm. you will be probably miss out valuable clients in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And today, young consumers expect commercial services to be provided when, where, and how they want them. They look to the companies like Airbnb and Uber to make their life easier and more convenient.
Yeah.
And as a result, we see strong trend when the most successful ventures are the ones that disrupt the business with on-demand offering.
Right. So that means that they don't really understand the older generation, because the older generation's mindset is based on analog thinking, if there is such a terminology.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think of it as being like old amplifiers, you know, with valves in them. They heat up, and when they heat up, they light up, you know, that sort of equipment. I mean, I remember the days when, you know, we still wrote letters, you know, we sent things by courier across cities and stuff like that. Although that still happens to a very small degree, but it's a completely different way of thinking. It's immediate. It's now.
Yeah. I want now. I want it to be convenient. I want it to be cheap.
Yeah.
I want it to be like, I want to have a lot of choices to make my the best for me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spend my time in a offline shopping. I want to do everything through my smartphone, which is this like which became the second, I don't know, the second
most valuable,
the second most valuable gadget in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Not the second, but the first available gadget in my pocket.
Right, yeah. Right. So that means, in a way, quality. How does that affect quality of goods? Does that mean the quality of goods has to improve, or does it mean the quality of goods can decrease?
I think that, of course, like generally, the quality of goods are increasing because of new technologies, new inventions, and so on and so forth.
Mm.
I think it's more about access to goods rather than the quality of goods. Of course, like Generation X and baby boomers also have a lot of requirements to the quality of the goods. But millennials have additional requirements to how it's easy for them and convenient to get that goods.
Right.
Quality is a basic requirement, and this is the quality should not be under question.
Yeah.
They have another type of requirement to a business. Business should be client-oriented rather than,
yeah,
than the product-oriented or...
Yeah, that's fascinating. Now, the financial crisis of 2009, we all remember that, and that spread rapidly around the world and affected almost everybody. Because of that crisis and these children saw, well, already not children, really young adults, saw what their parents were going through. Do millennials have a different attitude towards money because of what we all went through?
Yeah, when the financial crisis hit more than 10 years ago, millennials weren't actually affected as much as baby boomers or Generation X.
Yeah.
They didn't lose the bulk of real estate or stock market value because they were just only teenagers at that time.
Yeah.
And however, the 2008 crisis, of course, had a massive influence on millennials. After the crisis, they are faced with a slow economy, higher unemployment rates, stagnant wages, and that constrict their ability both to maintain a reasonable lifestyle and save for the future. For example, Americans between 18 and 34 are earning less today, even after that adjustment for inflation, than their same age group did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this fact has changed their attitude to financial institutions, for example, towards savings and pension system. The majority of millennials tends to invest spare money into receiving quality experiences rather than do long-run, forward-looking investments. This could undermine and sustainability of the existing pension system. And
Right. So that means that traditional investment funds, pension funds, long-term securities and equities,
yeah,
that sort of thing is not really popular,
yeah,
for millennials.
Yeah.
But what about capitalism itself? Because I know lots of millennials and they don't really want to even own their flats or their houses, which is something that was drummed into me from a very young age. You've got to own your flat. You've got, yeah, to buy your house. If you don't buy your house, you're going to be a member of the underclass and you'll never rise to the surface, you know.
Yeah.
But most millennials I know, including my own daughter, she doesn't really seem to be interested in that at all. It's much more important at developing her career. In a way, I think that's a really good thing because there's more of a focus on actually what really matters. But on the other hand, the system which is based on ownership, capitalism is to do with ownership, how will that survive?
Yeah, access, not ownership, could be the slogan for millennials.
Access, not ownership.
Yeah, yeah, access, not, yeah, ownership. And the one of the most remarkable example, as you said, is a house, is a house, householding. Only 35% of Americans under the age of 35 own their homes. This is especially true in the large cities like New York, San Francisco, and of course Moscow.
How does that differ from the previous generation?
Yeah, of course. It's maybe 20% less than...
20% yeah, less. That's a huge difference.
That's a huge difference, of course. And aside of new type of social mindset, there is economic reasons for millennials choose access versus ownership. And many millennials, despite having a good income, cannot save enough money to buy a house due to student loan, as I said.
Yeah.
And they have a loan balance after graduating, like, $25,000, and this is a huge amount. It's difficult for them to start making a savings for house buying.
Yeah.
They rather pay for student loan at a percent interest on a loan, like a face of a loan.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is not just about houses. Millennials have been reluctant to buy such items as cars, music, luxury goods, and they don't want to have, just want to have access to products without the negative consequences of ownership. This situation gave a rise to what is being called a sharing economy.
A sharing economy.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there's all sorts of questions come up here, but we're running out of time very quickly now. But what this means is that, in fact, it's nothing dramatically different, is it? Because accessing is still owning, but for a while, for a short period. Ownership of a house is for as long as one lives, and then one dies, you don't own it anymore anyway.
Yeah.
It goes on, it passes on to your family or whoever. The ownership aspect is still there, but it's for a shorter period of time. That's the thing, isn't it? So everything's speeding up.
Yeah, everything's speeding up, and you want to have a home, for example, in some particular location, because,
yeah,
it's convenient for you to get access to your job, to your friends, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And you get that home. You just rent it. Yeah. If you moved, millennials are more flexible in terms of changing location, changing jobs and cities, and so they don't want to be tied up
right.
to some particular brick and mortars.
And this is a good thing for the economy as a whole, because it means that the labor force is mobile. It's not just stuck into one particular place.
Yeah, it's a good from a labor point of view, but it's not a good from a savings, because economy is driven by savings. If you don't buy or if you don't invest in a house, the construction business is going down, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of consequences for that. If you rent, you do less investments. This is a problem for the economy.
Do you wish you were a millennial?
I think, yeah, I was born in the middle of 80s, and that's why I'm teetering on a balance between millennials and Generation X. I share ideas of millennials, but maybe I am more conservative in a family, in the ownership, and more close to Generation X. Yeah.
Fantastic. Very, very interesting. Thank you very much indeed, David.
Arush Yunyan,
Vice President of a major investment company based in Moscow. And thank you, listeners. I hope you find this program interesting. I certainly have. Tune in again next week. Goodbye.